I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
BC, most of us know that BC means what? That's right, before, and by the way, isn't that just the best picture ever? Before Christ, whereas AD stands for Anno Domini. How many of you thought it stood for after death? Yeah, well, see, you would be missing 33 years. And so it's actually Anno Domini, which is Latin for the year of the Lord, like the year he was born, which basically means after Christ. So I'm changing it today to AC, after Christ, because it's all about the effects of the new birth, of the new us when we're reborn. After Christ redeems the old BC us, right? We got our BC days and our AC days. For instance, so I started thinking about the impact, the after, we never talk about these people after Christmas, but think about the contrast. Those simple night shift shepherds, BC, were simply shepherds, right? Tending to their daily duties in the dark. But then after Christ, they literally saw the light and suddenly had a higher calling in life, a profound, heart-pounding goal of spreading good news of great joy of new life after Christ, as do we as AC believers, regardless of our regular day-to-day or nightly vocation. And don't forget about those confused, though otherwise wise men, BC, who had to pull over and ask King Herod for directions when they were left in the dark, right? Until after Christ, when the star reappeared and they were shown the way to the truth of life, as are we, as AC believers. And before all that, in those BC days came two discouraged parents-to-be to a tiny, overcrowded, seemingly God-forsaken town with nowhere to turn, no place to give birth, and no family or friends to help out. And let's face it, no confirmation that God was in control, because they were in the dark BC days. But then, after Christ and his unlikely messengers showed up, were empowered with the confidence of knowing the truth, as are we, as AC believers, who see it and receive it. And maybe, I guess most importantly, refuse to forsake it. Because you got to keep walking in it. Which brings us to the big AC question, the big after Christmas question that every secular Christmas show seems to ask us to consider. Were you naughty or nice? The answer comes after Christmas, right? I don't know. Did you see that? Char and I watched this new Christmas show called That Christmas, and with the G-Boys. And I really liked it. I'll just give you this one scene from it. There's only one of these two twin sisters. Only one gets a gift for being nice. But Santa accidentally puts it on the wrong twin's bed and leaves, okay? And the naughty twin wakes up, sees it, is just momentarily so excited she can't believe she got a gift, looks over, and then realizes the mistake that's been made. And she gets out of bed and quietly puts it on her sister's bed and then goes back to sleep. And suddenly this red alert goes off in Santa's sleigh because a naughty just turned nice. And so he happily has to turn and go back. And I thought, what a great little story, great little picture. Naughtiness used to carry a much more severe connotation. We've lost that. But back in King James' day, they used naughtiness, the word naughtiness, as the extreme opposite of righteousness. It fits better, righteousness and naughtiness. It just sounds better. Look at Proverbs 11:6 in the King James. It says that the righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. I just like that. Their own naughtiness. Because, why righteous? Because righteous are you, O Lord. So Solomon asks in Proverbs, so why are all those who, you know, claim to deal in righteousness yet actually deal in treachery? Why are all those who deal in treachery at ease, especially in conscience? We're talking about believers here now that have failed to keep walking in their righteousness. Because he says, you have planted them. They have even produced fruit. But it didn't last because you are near to their lips, but far from their mind. So be warned, because he's near to their lips. Do not believe them. You know, when they claim to be on God's nice list, do not, which means you got to identify them, right? Do not believe them, although they may say nice things to you. They're naughty. They're on the naughty list. But you got to wonder, if Christianity is absolutely true, shouldn't believers be obviously nicer than the nons? Great question. Glad I asked. Because let's be honest, I assume all of us have had or have some BC friends who are just way nicer than some of our AC friends. You know, you ever think to yourself, you know, you see someone just so cool and kind, and then you find out they're a non-believer. And you ever think, why aren't you a Christian? You act more like Jesus than most believers I know. Or you ever find it hard to share your faith with someone because another Christian has just left a trail? You know, a Christian that belonged on the naughtiness has done their worst. It's like, well, now I'm trying to share, but you've ruined it. Wouldn't it be nice if we could just point out to everyone the obvious observation that, hey, all believers, look, all believers are nicer and kinder and all around better adjusted than all non-believers. Wouldn't that be nice? Well, we can't, because they're not. You know why? Three things. Number one, big one, transformation is a lifelong process. Okay? When we are reborn, your nice new heart is stuck inside naughty old you. And its life's work is to get you to die to sins and live for righteousness, which requires you, each of us, to put off your naughtiness, your naughty old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt, and to put on, well, the nice new self in true righteousness. But keep in mind, so you don't get discouraged, that dying is a lifelong process, right? Which is why, number two, it's about progress over perfection. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. You've heard me quote this so many times because it's just so good. But he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy, right? That's just so good. Say the whole thing with me. He has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. You go, wait, so before I'm holy, I'm perfect? Uh-huh. Through Christ. Through Christ. If you're actually allowing him to make you holy. It's also called sanctified. Sanctification, that's the religious verbiage. Sanctified. If you're letting him sanctify you, yes. So when it comes to those that he's working on and in, regardless what stage of the process they're in, the proof, and there better be proof, the proof is in the incremental improvements that may require a microscope to see. and that, sometimes very hard to see evidence, it's still our ACBC testimony and proof and witness of the light of life in our dark world, that something's happening. Something's making this guy change. It might be a big leap. It might be small little steps. But if you look, it'll be there. And I'll tell you, those tiny little steps, much more powerful than you think. I remember watching I remember watching a TV show where there was this really serious character. And he just never broke expression. And when he would just raise his eyebrow, it's like, whoa! And I used to say, gosh, that's Kenny B. I never told you that. I love this next verse because I guess I've never understood it. But when you understand it, it's funny. Because Paul himself recognized that sometimes when dealing with people who just got a long ways to go and it's hard to see the progress, it requires confidence in the Lord's work when it comes to dealing with these folks who are still so far from the Lord's goal. Listen closely to a very familiar verse, but listen to what Paul is actually saying. In all my prayers for all, to the Philippians, for all of you, I can always pray with joy, being confident, not in them, I'll tell you, or there'd be no joy. Look, being confident that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. Listen to that again. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy, you know, being confident that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. Sometimes that's where you got to find your joy, in those, you know, very draining people. And so, although it would be nice if we could point out that only non-believers are naughty, we can't. Because one, transformation is a lifelong process. And therefore, number two, it's about progress over perfection. And number three, trademark infringement. And that's a biggie. Because the label has been badly abused and misused. You're trying to correct that out there, okay? We're going upstream. But just imagine if there was no penalty whatsoever for using Nike's label any old way that anyone wanted, right? Their name brand could no longer guarantee quality. We would have to identify the authenticity by very carefully examining the goods. Same goes for us. Same goes for believers, Christians, Christianity. The believer brand cannot guarantee fidelity. Never could, actually. From the beginning, from the start. So we got to examine the goods, which is something Jesus has always been very much in favor of. I think of him, the people that he would heal, and then he often sent them to his most severe critics and skeptics for inspection. Go let them see you. Turns out, Jesus likes his work and his goods checked out. He said so straight out when he made the obvious observation. The people light a lamp and put it on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's obvious. He said, well, in the same way, let your light shine before others, you know, down here on earth, so that they may see your good works, i.e. your goods, thanks to his work. And do so in such a way that they will give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Because those on the naughty list can talk the talk like they're on the nice list. Which is why we need to see the ACBC comparison and contrast. That's the only way to really tell with any individual, especially yourself. Because it's all about the before and after, right? I mean, just generally speaking, whether it's teeth whiteners, wrinkle creams, hair tonics. I'm sure people still say tonic, hair tonic. tonic, not just in the cartoons. Hair tonics or acne treatments. We demand to see a comparison that we can contrast before we will trust to some degree that the product produces what the sales pitch promises. Same goes for us, right? And we need to guard ourselves, and we need to guard others that we love. Listen closely now, from those who boldly wear the believer brand, but make no attempt to live by the code for which it stands. Not for condemnation, that's not our job, but preservation, because we're warned over and over and over again to identify them, because we're told they're dangerous and they're double-minded and they're deceitful and they do great damage, spiritual damage, kingdom damage. Which is why Jude, most likely one of Jesus' own brothers and a bondservant of Jesus Christ, warns those who are called and sanctified, being made holy, and, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. They're continuing on. They're walking the walk. So he warns that certain men have crept in, ungodly men, who turn the grace of our God into, well, a license for lewdness, serving only themselves. He says, they are clouds without water, like to the thirsty, right? They look right, but they are trees without fruit to the hungry. And their hypocritical words are like waves of the sea foaming up their own shame. Because get this, they are grumblers. What? They're complainers. Huh? I thought you were going to say they're murderers. They're grumblers, they're complainers, and who cause divisions. And I read this, and I just kind of went, yikes, you don't think you're going to be on that list till you read the list. And that sobers you up real quick. Because growth is incremental. Transformation comes in steps. It's like, ooh, I got to get serious about this, Lord. I don't want to be on that list. And so then he says, but you... You know, because you probably grumble and complain, but you, beloved AC bondservants here, just keep yourselves in the love of God, you know, and keep growing and produce fruit, Jesus says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Just keep going. You're going to do wrong. You're going to fail. You're going to grumble and complain, but repent. Repent and keep going. Keep growing, because that long-term progress, however slow, is how we identify the nice trees from the naughties. Jesus said, you will know them by their fruits. For instance, do men gather grapes from thorn bushes? Now, that was a grapevine. Or figs from thistles? Now, it's from a fig tree. Even so, listen up. Every good tree, meaning the one he's working in and on, every good work tree bears some good kingdom fruit. So no matter how prickly, bristly, or thorny they seem on the surface, if they are producing even a few tiny grape nuts or fig Newtons, he's at work. He's at work. But a bad tree, a truly bad tree, bears only bad kingdom fruit. Right? So you best be careful and prayerful, because you or someone who frustrates you might be like the durian fruit. You ever smell one of these beauties? Yeah. Oh my goodness. They are a spiky tropical fruit known for its pungent piggy poo odor. Okay. It's got hard outer spines. But inside, it contains this soft, sweet segments of deliciousness. And get this. Of all the fruit trees, the durian takes the longest to produce fruit. Anywhere from 7 to 15 years after planting. Yeah. So be warned, for each tree is known by its own fruit. Okay? Each tree is known by examining its own ACBC fruit. Not by comparing it to the quantity or quality of another tree. They're different species. The good new man, out of the good news treasured up in his heart, eventually brings forth what is good. You know, the whole point, right? The whole point of a living relationship versus dead religion is our Father's unique work in each individual heart. It should not surprise us, since he made it astronomically improbable that even two snowflakes would be alike, that he just isn't into cranking out carbon copy kids. You know what the self-righteous nice talkers hated most about Jesus? The company he kept and still does. Just look at your neighbor, right? Question is, do you know your neighbor is looking at you? Because we are all on our own individual sliding scale. We stand alone before our God, right? So the only question that matters is, which way are you sliding? Anyone, apparently the wrong way, not too happy. Anyone remember Junkyard Wars, the TV show? Curious, raise your hand. Okay, a few. It was the U.S. version of the British show called Scrap Heap Challenge, in which contestants had 10 hours only to cobble together a contraption using only what they could scrounge in a scrapyard to then compete in a race or challenge with all these, you know, the audience of onlookers cheering and screaming. It was so exciting, just, you know, because they go, this thing, it actually works. And that's just crazy. And they're just thrilled to see them clunking toward the finish line. And even if they didn't make it, it didn't matter. Everyone's just going nuts because they got this thing to do something. Think about the nautical son. Nothing. Just dead. How about the naughty proddy? Think about the naughty proddy. Okay, I should have went with naughty proddy. What did he have to show for his faith when he came home? Clothes that smelled like piggy poo. Oh, and tears. That's it. And that was enough. For starters. Because salvation isn't about who's naughty or nice according to secular or religious standards. It is about who all surrenders all to follow Christ in their cobbled contraption. That's it. I love that show because I grew up in a scrapyard. And also because I've come to realize we are all a bunch of cobbled contraptions heading toward the finish line. Paul refers to death as the finish line of his race, right? So that's us. It's a great analogy. So why don't we, as 2025 AC believers, try to lighten up and lower expectations till we are thrilled to see someone just clunking toward the finish line. It's like, oh, they're going. I can't believe they got that thing going. The Lord's in charge of the nice list. Okay? There is a nice list, you know. It's not called that. It's in the Lamb's Book of Life. And it contains, we're told, the names of all those who know they belong on the naughty list. And humbly, sometimes tearfully, acknowledge it, right? And embrace his mercy. And gradually but steadily grow in righteousness. And are so very grateful for his grace every step of the way. And therefore, offer that same grace to others without condemnation, even as they rightly examine what's growing on their trees. And it's crucial to closely examine our own before and after. Because we can fall into pride on one side, thinking we're all that. or despair on the other. If we compare ourselves to others rather than keeping our eyes on Christ as the goal and the goods that he's working in us by faithfully tracking our own ACBC progress. In what ways am I more like Christ today than I was 6 months ago, or a year ago, or 5 years ago? You might have to go 10 years ago. Oh, I see it now. Now I see. But there needs to be something, right? It's vital that we also do this with those we are praying will improve. Oh, God, please help them improve. So that we, like Paul, can pray with joy in the confidence that there's something good going on in there somewhere. So if you look at a person, you go, are they different than they were 20 years ago? If they're not, then pray for their salvation, whether they call themselves a believer or not. There's going to be something. Here's the thing. Andy the atheist is very kind, wonderful person to be around. Nature and nurture produced a pleasantness in Andy. So for him, nice is natural. Whereas Kurt, the irritable Christian, is ill-tempered, though he's slowly growing out of it. Nature and nurture produced an abrasive distrust in Kurt. Funny, very true story. You know what ChatGPT is? You can ask it questions. It gives you a wonderful resource. I'm working on my sermon. I asked ChatGPT for a list of men's names that sound grumpy. This is the first thing I got. I got this right here. Traditional or stereotypical grumpy names. And then more abrasive sounding names. Look at number 5. Bruce, I was stunned. Also, glance and see, anybody else's name on either of these lists? Raise your hand if your name's on that list. I'm just curious. No one admitting, huh? Okay. Well, what a stunning case in point, because I'll tell you this. You just don't think you're going to be on that list till you see the list. And then it's like, wait, I'm on the list. And I'm not just on the grumpy list, I'm on the more abrasive grumpy list. I got some work to do, Lord. Got to counteract that. And then, seriously, I thought, well, I'm going to save that because I got to show you. So the first one was a winner. But to add insult to injury, I typed in men's names that sound nice. And this is the first thing that came up. And number 4 on the right is Noah. And what I just hate about it is I agree with it. It's like, oh, he's so right, ChatGPT. Well, I don't forgive you. Of course, God regards a naughty nature as a bad thing. Of course. And a nice nature as a good thing. Yes. But here's the thing. Andy's natural niceness isn't his gift to God, but God's gift to him. Let that sink in, because we get so proud of our natural gifts. I'm so patient. I'm just being someone else now. I'm so patient. Really, how'd you overcome that? Oh, I didn't overcome anything. I'm just wired this way. Oh, well, then you get no credit. So, when it comes to patience or kindness or whatever, if anyone sees their natural fruit as their own doing, it will be their undoing, because they will see little need to progress in the Lord. And yet, Jesus aims one of his strongest warnings squarely at the naturally nicest people. Who? I almost feel bad for him. He says, from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more than the average guy will be asked. I looked, I thought, you know, that might actually be the silver lining of so clearly failing yourself. If you're one of those people that, oh my goodness, I'm just always failing. That's a silver lining, actually. Because like Peter's denial, there's no denying it. And so, with Christ-likeness as our goal, just ask yourself how your goods are progressing as we head home. And let's pray. Father God, oh, we love you and we worship you. And we just thank you for the natural gifts that you've given us. Holy Spirit, inspire us and empower us to faithfully follow and continue to grow in your grace. And Lord Jesus, our Savior, we put our trust in you alone to get our cobbled contraptions home. And everybody said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.